वंदे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद सहोदितो गौरवदाय पुष्पवंतो चित्तोसंदो तमोनुदो नमो महावरणाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिनि गौर तुषे नमः पांचतात्मकं कृष्णं भक्त रूप रूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्ति शाक्तिकम् कृष्णवर्णम तुषा कृष्ण संघो पांगस्तपार्षदम् यज्ञाय संकीर्तन प्राय यजन्ति हि सुमेरसः इमुगे जस्ट लाइक कृष्ण ऑलवेज चैंटिंग कृष्ण बट अ डिफरेंट कलर एंड स्ट्रंग बाय एसोसिएट्स एंड ही विल बी The yajna will be sanctified. Text number 63, Adi Lila, chapter 4. Om Agana Timirandas Yaganandana Shalakaya Chaksara Militanim Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Shri Anandastakidami Gurave Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapanantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raguna Tandritam Sadivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandritam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Buddhaye Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatani Satarane Vantapa Truvius Cha Kripa Sindhuvi Cha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Text number 63. Ladini Sandini Sambit Trayeka Sarva Samstitao Lada Tapa Karimishva Twayi No Guna Vardite. The word for word here is nice. Ladini means pleasure potency. Sandini means existence potency. Sambit means knowledge potency. Twayi in you. Eka, one. Sarva samstito, who are the basis of all things. Lada, pleasure. Tapa, the misery. Kari, causing. Misha, a mixture of the two. Twayi in you. Na, who. Na, not. Guna, vajite. Who are without the three modes of material nature. Translation. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes of Ladini, Sambit, and Sandini exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. See, that's always stressed, material quality. This is from Vishnu Purana. That's the only purport, Vishnu Purana 1.12.69. But you see, Ladini, and the word la means pleasure. Lad. Ladini, pleasure potency. Lad means pleasure. So ini means potency. Sandini means existence potency. And Sambit means knowledge potency. So they're all the same in Krishna, who is the basis of everything. Of course, this is what we want to get absorbed in our mind and understand it. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada, Matak Sarvam Pravartate. Everything comes from me. I'm the source of everything. Yeah, that's the first verse of the seed verse of the Bhagavad Gita. in the canto, the first verse of the seed verse of the Bhagavatam, is anything considered separate from me is Maya. Nothing can be separate from Krishna. Then I think we get a little explanation of it by Lord Chaitanya. Sandinira Sara Amsa Shuddha Satvanam Bhagavan Nara Sata Haya Yahate Vishram. Sandinira Sara Amsa Shuddha Satvanam Bhagavan Nara Sata Haya Yahate Vishram. Sandinira Sara Amsa Shuddha Satvanam Bhagavan Nara Satyahaya Yahate Vishram. Word for word, Sandinira, of the existence potency, again, essence. Sara means essence. Amsa, portion. Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva means pure existence. That's only in the Vaikuntha, only in Krishna. We have Sattva in the material world, but it's always mixed with passion and or ignorance to various degrees. But in the spiritual world, there's only sattvic, only shuddha sattva, pure sattva, no mixture, no other modes. Nama, named, Bhagavanera, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sata, the existence. Haya, is. Yahate, in which. Vishram, the resting place. Translation. The initial portion of the Sandini potency is Shuddha Sattva. Lord Krishna's existence rests on that. So I said something about Shuddha. Shuddha means pure. So Shuddha Sattva is pure goodness. And that's the essential portion of the Sandini, which is the pleasure potency. Can't be any real pleasure that's not in goodness. It'll always be a temporary thing. It'll always be mixed. Always be something, you know, missing. So that's why people are never happy, no matter how much so-called pleasure we get in the material world. There's a reaction for material pleasure. There's a downside. I saw some Buddha saying once, it said, for every minute of material pleasure, there's 1 hour of suffering or something. I don't know. It has the exact right proportions, because it depends on what kind of pleasure one is getting. If it's very, very gross pleasure, sinful pleasure, then it'll be much, suffering will be much more than a few minutes of pleasure, like intoxication or, you know, things like that. Someone has too much sex, uncontrolled, and, you know, and then they're going to get some kind of terrible diseases. It will be constant. The pleasure, I remember when some Sundar Prabhu astrologer, he was in a terrible car accident. And, you know, so many broken bones. He wrote afterward, he said, like he always knew that he couldn't have constant pleasure. But in that condition, he realized he had constant pain. It never went away. And he said the doctors came at one point and they told him, now we stopped the painkillers. And he didn't know they even were giving painkillers because there was so much pain anyway. But he recovered. So the pain is not constant, then you get back in illusion where you think, oh, I can have some pleasure, but the pleasure will never stay. And the pain never stays either. One way or another, it will go away. Either we die or, you know, we get relief. Now another. Mata pita stana griha shayasana ahar. Esaba Krishna Rashuda Satvara Vikar Mata Pita Stana Griha Shaya Shaya Sanra Ar Esaba Krishna Rashuda Satara Vikar Mata Pita Stana Griha Shaya Sana Ar Esaba Krishna Rashuda Satara Vikar. Mata means mother, Pita means father, Stana means place, Griha house, Shaya Asana beds and seats, Ara and Esaba, all of these, Krishnara of Lord Krishna, Shuddha Sattvara of the Shuddha Sattva, Vikara transformations. Purport. Krishna's mother, father, abode, house, bedding, seats, and so on are all transformations of the Shuddha Sattva. Okay, very interesting. See how that's explained. And you see this word sthana. Sthana means place. And it's a Sanskrit word. And if we look at the nearby India, we have Afghanistan and Pakistan and Tajikistan and many sthanas because they're all Sanskrit is everywhere and every language we find remnants of it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna's father, mother, and household affairs all displayed in the same Vishuddha Sattva existence. A living entity situated in the status of pure goodness can understand the form, quality, and other features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness begins on the platform of pure goodness. Although there is a faint realization of Krishna at first, Krishna is actually realized as Vasudeva, the absolute proprietor of omnipotence, or the prime predominant deity of all potencies. When the living entity is situated in Vishuddha Sattva, transcendental to the three modes of nature, he can perceive the form, quality, and other features of the Supreme Lord through his service attitude. The status of pure goodness is the platform of understanding. For the Lord is always in spiritual existence. Krishna is always all spiritual. Aside from the parents of the Personality of Godhead, all the other paraphernalia of his existence are also essentially a manifestation of this Vini Shakti, or the transformation of Vishuddha Sattva. To make this more clear, it may be said that this Sandini Shakti of the internal potency contains and manifests all the variegatedness of the spiritual world. In the kingdom of God, the Lord's servants and maidservants, his consorts, his father and mother, and everything else are all transformations of the spiritual existence of Sandini Shakti. The essential Sandini Shakti in the external potency similarly expands all the variegatedness of the material cosmos from which we can have a glimpse of the spiritual field. Wow. So, normally we hear about all the expansions that create all the material world. The spiritual world also does everything. This is information we get here that we don't know of other scriptures that have details like this. They know there's a kingdom of God. They mostly have to speculate about what it is. But it's very personal. This material is a perverted reflection. So the same things, individual personalities, different types of animals and plants, fruits and flowers, they're all there, but in much more variety, and everything is goodness. There's no poisoning, there's no poison plants. One time somebody asked Prabhupada if there were mosquitoes in the spiritual world. He said, yes, but they don't bite. Whatever there is, they're nice. Here, we get all mixed up. So when we get into your goodness, which means, you know, we avoid, we try to eat. Bhagavad Gita gives us information about the modes of nature. So we try to live in goodness, try to eat in the mode of goodness, speak in the mode of goodness, do everything in the mode of goodness according to what we learn from Bhagavad Gita. The material world is so much absorbed in ignorance and passion. And most people think that, you know, the greatest pleasure comes from passion and ignorance, from sex, from education, from some kind of, you know, extreme sports or something like that, you know, putting yourself in great danger, you know, different things. Few people try for the mode of goodness a little bit, but they have trouble. It's very hard to just enjoy the goodness. Because anyway, it's always mixed. But when we follow the regulative principle, chant the holy name, it's Krishna. Krishna is pure goodness, and that will help us to come to the mode of goodness. And then if we're acting in the mode of goodness, dealing with each other in the mode of goodness, you know, being charitable in the mode of goodness, all the different things in the mode of goodness, and you have a very nice society of people. There's no anger in the mode of goodness. There's no insults, you know, no fault finding, all these things that are, you know, programmed into all of us our whole life by the material society, due to the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. We're always in a hurry, we're intolerant, and expert in fault finding. These are all symptoms of the mode of ignorance. And we want to overcome that. So everything around Krishna is also coming from this Sandini or Shudasattva existence. Then we can understand the form, qualities, and other features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which we read about all the time. And now we're very fortunate that there's so many pictures of Krishna. And we can meditate on his form and so many descriptions of his qualities. So many scriptures and so many different things to let us know what is Krishna. And how beautiful Krishna is, and how he looks, and how he dresses. We have deity, so we can really get close. This is all by the absolute mercy of the Lord, manifested for us by Srila Prabhupada and handed down, so that we can actually, without even so much extraneous effort, we can meditate on the form of the Lord, the name of the Lord, kirtan. Everybody knows if there's a kirtan, you know, it's easy to think of the name of, that's Krishna. We may not completely realize, you know, but it is Krishna, and we're getting purified every time we chant, every time we hear anybody else chant. By the mercy of the Lord, now there's so much facility. We have access to, you know, constantly new pictures of Krishna coming, and so many more artists are joining the movement. And we see, you know, they have their realization. Krishna empowers them to, you know, illustrate different activities of Krishna. And I think we still need more of Lord Chaitanya. We don't get as many as Krishna. But, and we have deities. and we're getting pictures of deities all over the world, and we get kirtans online, we get kirtans everywhere. More and more temples are holding these kirtan malas, there's more and more daily harinams going on. So devotees are getting more and more purified, and also the world is becoming more and more aware of Krishna. And many people, they want to know, what are you doing, when they see devotees chanting? They're curious. So we have to be ready to give them the mantra. Tell them, you know, please try this. This, like Vaisheshika says, he believes in prayer. If they say yes, then he says, good, here's a nice prayer, try it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if they say, I don't believe in prayer, he says, good, this is not a prayer, it's a mantra. And try it. Because mantra is just not considered religious exactly. You know, something different. So whatever it is, Krishna finds a way. We want everyone to hear the holy name. We want everyone to have some kind of exposure to Krishna. When they see devotees blissfully chanting, that's how they see Krishna. And they'll naturally think, well, what is Krishna? What is this? Why are they doing that? And we all have experience that when we chant in public, you know, there'll always be people that are very much liking it. And even the people who apparently don't notice it at all, they're still hearing, they're still getting something, they just don't thinking too much of other things, that they don't take time to process it, but they perceive it, and then they get purified. So as Krishna has realized, as Vasudeva in the beginning, and the prime predominating deity of all potencies, Krishna has so many Parasya Shakti, Vividaya, Shivite, so many different potencies in there. We can't even imagine. These are the main ones, the main spiritual ones. Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini, pleasure potency, existence potency, knowledge. That's Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vibraha is eternal, and he's blissful, and he has form. Not some unknown formless thing. But he doesn't have any material qualities. He doesn't have a material form. It's temporary. It's rotting away. It can be, you know, broken at any moment. He doesn't have that. He has transcendental form. Chit Ananda. His body is made out of those energies. We're made out of asat, our body, but the soul is also Satchit Ananda. The soul is same quality as Krishna, but not so wonderful. Not the same size. Size is not exactly the right word, but Krishna has the six opulences: beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, power, and renunciation. We all have opulences to some degree or qualities, but not in unlimited. In whatever we have, if we have some wealth, it's a very small, even within our small group. Even the most richest man in the world, you know, it's nothing compared to the wealth of the whole world. And then what to speak of the universe, and what to speak of everything. It all belongs to Krishna, so he just, according to one's desires and previous activities, Krishna gives, you know, some amount of these opulences. So one should not be proud of having them, because they're just given by Krishna, and a devotee or an intelligent person is thankful for whatever he has, and he's also thankful for what he doesn't have. He knows that Krishna is giving us exactly what's best for us, so he's Labdha Santushta, Yadvichaya Labdha Santushto. The devotee is satisfied with whatever comes automatically. Not complaining. You have to work, and, we have to have some kind of fruits of our work in order to live, but we don't have to be thinking, I need more, I need more, I need more. Like, that's the mode of passion, which is, scaring everybody and making everybody unsatisfied. Never satisfied. It burns like fire. The more you try to satisfy in the mode of passion, the more it increases. And the more you get, the more you want. And there's no end to it. People in the mode of passion, they set a goal, I need this much money, and they work so hard, but by the time they are getting that much, then they've already decided they need twice as much. It never ends until one becomes, fortunate to understand it can be a little bit, influenced by the mode of goodness. So that by chanting the holy name, by hearing the Bhagavad Gita, by associating with Krishna in that way, can associate with Krishna in so many ways, but especially by the holy name and by the deities, by prasadam, and the more we can give this to others, the more Krishna gives himself to us. Tesham Satyu Panam Prajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamamu Payanti Te. The more one tries to serve Krishna, then Krishna gives knowledge by which you can come to me, Krishna says, to me, not to something else that's within Krishna that's an unknown thing, but to Krishna, exactly. So that's what we want, to come to Krishna, and Krishna. So, let's see, I think.
If it's okay, we wanted to do up to 67, if you're into it.
Yeah, I'm going to the next one. Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yad Ite Tatra Puman Apavrita Satve Chatasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Yad Hokshajo Me Manasa Vidiyate Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yad Ite Tatra Puman Apavrita Satve Chatasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Yadokshajome manasavadiyate Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Abditam Yadiyate Tatra Pumana Pavita Satve Chatasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Yadokshajome manasavadiyate Satvam means existence. Vishuddha means pure, Vasudeva. Sabditam means named, Vasudeva. Yet, from which, Iyate appears, Tatra, in that, Puman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Apavrita, without any covering, Satve, in goodness, Cha, and, Tasmin, that, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Vasudeva, he, certainly, Adhokshaja, who is beyond the senses, my, Manasa, by the mind, Vidite is procured. Translation, the condition of pure goodness, Shuddha-sattva, in which the Supreme Lord is revealed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed without any covering, is called Vasudeva. In that pure state of Supreme Godhead, who is beyond the material senses and who is known as Vasudeva, is perceived by my mind. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.20, spoken by Lord Shiva when he condemned Daksha, the father of Sati, as an opponent of Vishnu. Confirms beyond a doubt that Lord Krishna, his name, his fame, his qualities, and everything in connection with him exists in the Sandini Shakti of the Lord's potency. Talks between Lord Shiva and Sati. That's what that is. There's a purport in the fourth canto for that verse. A living entity is constitutionally pure. Asango yayam purusha. Our living entities were naturally pure, but we are bewildered. In the Vedic literature, it is said that the soul is always pure and uncontaminated by material attachment. So sometimes people ask, well, how can it be that we're thinking with this body? That's Krishna's potency. The identification of the body with the soul is due to misunderstanding. As soon as one is fully Krishna conscious, it is understood that one is in his pure original constitutional position. This state of existence is called Shuddha Sattva, which means that it is transcendental to the material qualities. Since this Shuddha Sattva existence is under the direction of the internal potency, in this state, activities of material consciousness stop. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes warm, and when red hot, although it's iron, it acts like fire. Similarly, when copper is surcharged with electricity, its action is copper stops. It acts as electricity. Bhagavad Gita 14:26 also confirms that anyone who engages in unadulterated devotional service to the Lord is at once elevated to the position of pure Brahman. Mam Shiova Abhichayana Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sadhunan Samati Chaita Brahma Muyaya Kalpate. Often quoted. So Shuddha Sattva is described in this verse. It's the eternal position, which is technically called Vasudeva. Vasudeva also appears the name of the person from whom Krishna appeared. This verse explains that the pure state is called Vasudeva because in that state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed without any covering. To execute the unadulterated devotional service, therefore, one must follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. Without desire to gain material profit by fruitive activities or speculation. So there's another secret that's, of course, stated many, many times in the Bhagavad Gita. So as much as we're not getting, you know, the ecstasy or whatever, you know, freedom from anxiety or all the things that we hear about that can come from serving is because we have to strictly follow the rules without desire for material gain and profit and mental speculation. So that has to be thrown out. And it has to be uninterrupted and unmotivated. Another place says in first, uninterrupted and unmotivated devotional service. We have to be motivated. That's another thing. It says unmotivated. I mean, there's no, you don't have any, you know, you don't want to do it. You know, motivation is required, not material motivation, just like Krishna has no material qualities, Irguna. Not that he has no qualities, but no material qualities. He has a spiritual form, so he's arupa, no form, it says. My body thinks that means he's nothing. He doesn't really exist, but it means there's no material form, no flesh and blood, no, you know, bones and all those things that are all temporary. In pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality of God in the manner of duty, without reason, without being impeded by material qualities. That is called Shuddha Sattva or Vasudeva. Because in that stage, the Supreme Personality of God is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva or Shuddha Sattva in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He explains that after Tera Sutta 108 is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddha Sattva are in the transcendental state of Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva is also used for other purposes. For example, Vasudeva also means one who is everywhere or all-pervading. The sun is also called Vasudeva Shabditam. The word Vasudeva may be utilized for different purposes. But whatever purpose we adopt, Vasudev means the all-pervading or localized Supreme Personality of Godhead. In 7:19, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Bahunam Jamanamante Ganamamam Prapanyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlama. After many lifetimes of service, one can, in goodness, one can come to know me as the supreme source of everything. Such a great soul is very rare. So devotees are very rare. As devotees realize, every devotee realizes they wouldn't be practicing. Vasudeva is the ground wherein Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed. When one is free from the contamination of material nature and situated in pure consciousness, Vasudeva is revealed. This state is also called Kaivalya, which means pure consciousness. Nam sat vikam Kaivalyam. When one is situated in pure transcendental knowledge, one is situated in Kaivalya. Therefore, Vasudeva also means Kaivalya, a word which is generally used by impersonalists. Impersonal Kaivalya is not the last stage of realization. But in Krishna consciousness, Kaivalya, when one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when one is successful in that pure state of by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., because of the development of knowledge and science of Krishna, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these activities are under the guidance of the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. The action of the internal potency is also described in this verse as apavrita, free from any covering. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name, form, quality, his paraphernalia, being transcendental or beyond material nature, it is not possible to understand any of them with the materialistic senses. When the senses are purified by the discharge of devotional service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite, the pure senses can see Krishna without covering. Now one may inquire that since factually the devotee has the same material existential body, how is it possible that the same materialistic eyes become purified by devotional service? The example is stated by Lord Chaitanya that devotional service cleanses the mirror of the mind. In a clean mirror, one can see one's face very distinctly. Similarly, simply by cleansing the mirror of the mind, one can have a clear conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena 88. By executing one's prescribed duties and devotional service, Chaitasa Nanya Gamina, or simply by hearing about God and chanting about Him, if one's mind is always engaged in chanting and hearing and is not allowed to go elsewhere, from wherever, you know, Krishna says, from wherever and whatever the mind wanders, bring it back forcibly. Chant. As confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, by the Bhakti Yoga process, beginning from hearing and chanting, one can cleanse the heart and mind, and thus one can clearly see the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva said that since his heart is always filled with the conception of the Supreme Lord's presence within his mind and heart, he's always offering obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, Lord Shiva is always in a trance, samadhi. Samadhi is not under control of the devotee, it is under the control of Vasudeva. The entire internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under his order. Of course, the material energy also acts by his order, but his direct will is specifically executed to the spiritual energy. Thus, by his spiritual energy, he reveals himself. Bhagavad Gita says, Sambhavam Yatma Mayaya. Atma Maya is internal. By his sweet will, he reveals himself by his internal potency, being satisfied by the transcendental loving service of the devotee. The devotee never commands, Dear Lord, please come here so I can see you. It is not the position of the devotee to command the Supreme Personality of God to come. We can hanker for that, but we don't demand Krishna. We should be hankering. When will it come? When will I get pure enough? When will I give up all my materialistic motivations and desire for fame, especially or something, and we hear stressed by Rupa Goswami, we want to be famous, we want to be recognized, you know, we want to something, but we shouldn't care for that. Just want to please Krishna. It is not the position of a devotee to command the Supreme Personality to come and dance before him. Rather, we should go and dance before Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya has given us. He's given us deities, and Prabhupada taught us how to dance for Krishna. And then eventually, when we dance purely for Krishna, he'll dance for us. There are many so-called devotees who command the Lord to come before them dancing. He's not subject to anyone's command. But if he's satisfying them when it's pure devotional activities, he reveals himself. Therefore, our meaning in this verse is at Hope Chaga, for it indicates that the activities of our material senses will fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot realize the Personality of Godhead simply by the attempt of one's speculative mind. But if one desires, he can subdue all the material activities of his senses, and the Lord, by manifesting his spiritual energy, can reveal himself to the pure devotee. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to the pure devotee, the devotee has no other duty than to offer him respectful obeisances. The absolute truth reveals himself to the devotee in this form. He is not formless. Vasudeva is not formless, for it is stated in this verse that as soon as the Lord reveals himself, the devotee offers obeisances. Even in the Bible, when I guess it was Moses or somebody, they went to see the Lord. I don't know what they saw. It doesn't describe, but it says they paid obeisances. Whether it was the burning bush or just a voice, or they actually saw, you know, the Lord standing there. And the Bible doesn't give that information, but it says they did. They bowed down. One should not accept the Mayavadi interpretation that Vasudeva is impersonal. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Prapate, one surrenders to the person, not to the impersonal non-duality. However, there must be an object of surrender or obeisance. And so that's a long purport from chapter 4, from that verse that was quoted. I always like to look back and, you know, get more commentaries. And so back to the Adi Leela, 66. So I think we finished up. See, Vasudeva, and then all this is all about potencies. But then we see when Krishna himself appeared, his father was named Vasudeva, and then he was named Vasudeva, because that's in Sanskrit how you make it, you know, to indicate the son by making a long vowel. Like in English, it comes from Sweden, but we have names like Anderson and Johnson and so many sons, the son of somebody, but that way. In Scotland, they say Mac, so you have MacDonald or Mac this or Mac that, means the son of. And in Sanskrit, you just like treat. Arjuna is called Partha, you know, the son of Prithvi, and on and on like that. Just get that name. So Krishna comes from that potency, and that potency was manifested there in Vasudeva, his father. Hare Krishna. All right. Did you want to do a 67 also? Or,
You know, it's maybe that's a little bit too much to bite off for one evening. The 67 has got a pretty long purport. It's a big paragraph. So.
Yeah, and there's only 10 minutes left.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's a little too much for one
night. Scientifically, you know, now it's about the sambit potency. So I think better to leave it. Right.
Okay.
There's some questions. Usually we get a few questions here, so
Well, if I could sneak one in real quick. That was very interesting wherever you were reading that the spiritual master is addressed as 108 because he's on the Vasudeva platform. Can you explain what that means?
I don't know. There must be something about 108 that, you know, because you say there's 108 in the Upanishad and there's 108, so it's something about the potency. So you just put that to note, I guess. And that's what it says. All I can say is what it says there, that that indicates your spiritual position.
I got a little lost. Was that Lord Shiva speaking about this verse? In the purport about this verse were spoken by Lord Shiva?
Yeah, go back to that. If you're on the database, you can just click on it, and but it's back to that. In chapter 4, 23. Long purport I was reading, and I made a few comments along the way also. That was when Shiva went into the arena there where Daksha was conducting the sacrifice. So Daksha was a very big demigod, and he was the chief of that function, so everybody should pay obeisances to him. And when Lord Shiva came in, he didn't pay obeisances. So Daksha became very angry. That, you know, who do you think you are? You're not respecting me properly. Now, even though Shiva's his older brother and should be honoring Shiva, and then Shiva was explaining to him that, you know, he's always totally absorbed in the Lord in the heart, so he is paying obeisances. So he doesn't have to pay obeisances and make some physical thing to Daksha. And Daksha was expecting that. He had that motivation, and he's a big man, and he wants everyone to bow down. And that's what that whole, that's the verse. And all right.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisance. Wouldn't Lord Shiva, though, want to pay his obeisances since Daksha was his father-in-law?
Yeah. Well, he's his father-in-law, but he's also the older brother, the younger brother of Shiva. They're all sons of Lord Brahma. So the yajna, the sacrificial arena of yajna, and then Daksha cursed Shiva and insulted him like anything, and then Sati didn't have anything to do with her body that was coming from Daksha, so she burned up her body, and it was a huge event. It's a wonderful event.
Mm-hmm. My daughter, Julanyatra, will be 15 next month, and she wants to know where Krishna comes from.
Well, Krishna doesn't come from. He's the origin of everything.
Yes, I tried to tell her that, but I'm having trouble convincing her.
Well, if Krishna came from something, that thing would be greater than Krishna. So, Krishna, when he comes in the material world, it looks like he comes from Devaki, but actually he's the source of everything. So, how can there be something greater than the world? That's a child, that you have curiosity like that, and they can't understand things like that. But, tell her to chant. Just keep reading about Krishna. Does she read Krishna books? All right.
Okay. She only has.
Where does God come from? But everybody, even Christians, you know, they know that God is eternal and everything comes from Him. They have only to sing songs like that in the church. Right.
Okay. She only has one story that she likes from Krishna book, and that's the one where Krishna steals the gopis' clothes. For some reason, she's just so attracted to that story. It's the only one she wants to hear.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, that's like, there's so many perverted reflections of that story that are the main thing nowadays. Right?
Oh, is that what it is? Thank you.
Yeah.
Marish, I don't know if you want to take one more question.
Yeah, couldn't be as many as you want.
Okay, it is related to what we're reading now about the internal potency. But it comes from a purport that we just read this morning. I didn't have a chance to ask Hanum Prashek Swami about this. But it's we're reading about the scheduled incarnations, and this was about Lord Ramachandra. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, I'll just read it, that Lord Ramachandra, he came accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency. And also, as well as Lakshmi, the Devi. So, I am under the conception that, you know, just like there's the Lord himself, his internal potency, his external potency, and his marginal potency, all of us. So there's the Lord and his energies. That's the totality of existence. But Krishna's expansions, I was under the impression that when Krishna expands himself, it's not his energy. He is that's why I don't understand why Srila Prabhupada is saying here that Satrughnan, Bharat, and Lakshman are expansions of the Lord's internal potency.
Yeah, everything else, you know, Krishna is Krishna, but all these potencies, so when he manifests different in the material world, different potencies, but everything is coming from Krishna's different energies.
Yes, and the Lord Ramachandra, when he appeared with the, you know, the Chaturvyuha, those are Vishnu Tattva. So that's why I'm just confused as to how Srila Prabhupada is stating it here, that they're expansions of the Lord's internal potency. The potency is his energy, not the energetic, is it not?
Krishna is the energetic, but the potency has energy also to produce other things. See, it's all inconceivable.
Okay. Anyway, that was the only other question I had.
Keep reading, it'll all come.
Okay, does anyone else have anything they wanted to?
Please accept my humble obeisances, Guru Dave. I might as well ask a question or comment, whatever. But I was wondering, you know, how some people believe that they actually own, say, like their house or money, you know, and, you know, but that's like one of my things I use for preaching now instead of saying, oh, well, what, you know, thou shalt not kill, you know, but now I like this one where I just say, well, you know, when you die, you know, I mean, you know, you can't take anything with you, And I just tell them, look, you know, you don't, anything that you have, it doesn't, you know, it's not yours. You know, it's not yours, and it really works, you know. It kind of makes them think, you know.
Right. It's yours to take care of. Krishna gave it to you to take care of it, but it's the truth that really belongs to God. And, you know, when people realize that, like in previous cultures when there was much more, there were no thieves. Because everybody thought it belongs to God, but now everybody thinks this is mine.
Well, it's like they can't, like, really tell you, no, that's not true. I mean, because, you know, if they have any sense at all, you know, they're going to think and, you know, and they can't take it with them. And how can they sit there and say that, you know, oh, I own this or I own that? And
right.
It's like it makes them think, you know, Maharaj.
That's a fact. It's a temporary ownership. Yeah.
Poor Krishna, he should send more preachers this way. Maharaj, you should come and go out on Harinam with us.
Okay.
Give the people of Hilo a real treat of Krishna consciousness.
And we can all pray on Harinam. You know, there's so many devotees now. Devotees on in Ukraine, big war is going on, and they have to evacuate their homes and temples, and you know they need a lot of help.
Oh, that reminds me, how's it going in Berlin?
Well, you know, we had Harinam with a few devotees every day so far. It's quite nice, because.
But the deities are okay for now, and you're still looking for a temple?
Oh, they're okay. They're in one house, and they're getting a little service, but it looks like they're going to have to be changed, because, you know, they have to move to another place, and they're looking for a house, but it's very hard to find a place that will rent to Hare Krishna and also that they can afford. That's the difficulty. The combination, so. We're trying to get more, you know, devotees together, and we've had, you know, because of all the confusion, a lot of misunderstanding, and devotees arguing too much, and things like that. So we need a lot of prayers. All right, because we see we need more Harinam. You know, you see some devotees is talking how demoniac the Israelis are, how many bad the Muslims are. But you know, it's all Kali Yuga. It's all going on because of Kali Yuga, and because people have, you know, bodily consciousness is so intense and they're so fearful. All right. So
yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Jai Ram, Guru Dev.
Jai Haribo. Aloha, mahalo. All glory to the devotees of Hawaii.
We need more devotees here in Hawaii, that's for sure.
We need more devotees everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, some places we see a lot of them all in one place, but it's still a very small percentage of populations. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.